posted on the bulletin board of the municipal building, available to the township clerk. Notice sent to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. We will now have the open public meeting notice by Tom.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This meeting is being held in conformance with the Department of Community Affairs guidelines on virtual meetings. The appropriate notices have been issued and it's appropriate to go forward in a virtual setting, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller.
Present.
Councilwoman Cahill.
Here.
Ms. Corcoran.
Here.
Reverend Kenny. Is he on?
He's there. I see the top of his head.
Hey, you gotta take yourself off mute.
Right. Reverend Kenny's here. Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
No, it's not on.
And Chairperson Smith?
Here.
I know we can hear.
I can hear you, Courtney.
Oh, it's the computer volume.
That's
okay.
Now I'm on.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag.
Flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, a nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Do we have professionals to be sworn in this evening?
We do. I believe Mr. Clarkin and Mr. Reinerston. Is Ms. Saunders?
No, she will not be attending.
Oh, okay, then I'll do it. Gentlemen, if you could raise your right hand, if you swear the testimony you'll give before this board will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you out.
I do.
I like your tie, Ron.
Thank you. Festive.
Number 7.
Okay, was that completed?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Yeah, there's something wrong with your iPad.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, we're on number 7, duly audited.
Okay. What about number 6?
6.
Oh, I skipped 6 on mine.
Can we have a motion to pay the bills?
Madam Chair, Dawn Corcoran, I'll make the motion.
Second, Councilwoman Cahill.
Do I have a second?
Yep. Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
And Chairperson Smith?
Yes. Item number 7. Are there any changes to the our agenda, Mr. Barlow?
Madam Chair, to the best of my knowledge, there are no changes to the agenda.
Okay, thank you. Item number 8, adoption of resolution to memorialize action taken on November the 9th, 2022. Do I have a motion?
Reverend Kenny, I make a motion.
I'll second that, Councilwoman Cahill.
Thank you. Rose, roll call, please.
And this would be for the resolution 22-PB-1617-V Tanglewood Terrace. Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Item number 9, adoption of the minutes from the regular meeting of November the 9th, 2022. Do I have a motion?
Reverend Kenny, I make a motion to adoption of minutes for November the 9th, 2022.
Alex Atkins, second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Item number 10, discussion, area in need of redevelopment block 30, lot 1.02, also known as 37 on the Gateway Township map.
Right. Good evening, members of the board. Can you hear me?
Yes, Mr. Clark.
Great. Thank you. It's good to see you all right before the holidays. As noted, I'll be presenting the area in need of redevelopment study for block 3702, lot 1.02, better known as 10 Normandy Drive. So I'm going to start off by showing you this aerial to kind of get your bearings of where this site is. So this is a 35-acre single piece of property in the northwestern corner of Piscataway Township. So we're near the borders of Bound Brook and Middlesex in this area. So just off the aerial, the map here to your west would be River Road. So you actually have two frontages on this property. So along the northern edge here, hopefully you can see my cursor, would be Normandy Drive. And then I'll call it the eastern boundary, runs along Hancock Road. So those are the main boundaries of the property, the 35 acres. So as you can tell, it is mostly vacant. You can see there's lots of trees, lots of grass, but there are some leftover improvements, all of which are dilapidated. There is a former building over here, which I'll describe and show some photographs in a moment, but you can also see some of the older parking lots, and there are some railroad tracks that still exist that kind of, you can almost see their right of way, kind of loop around and go south onto this spur of the property. But I did forget to mention that this site is in your light industrial zone, LI5. But this site definitely has a long history. So back in about 1965, 1967, Union Carbide Corporation built a phenol plant here, which operated for about 20 so years till approximately 1987. Right around that time, maybe a little bit before, ownership actually changed hands from Union Carbide to Georgia Pacific. And Georgia Pacific, I believe, is the current owner. It may have switched hands a couple times, but when it closed, it was owned by Georgia Pacific in 1987. And it was officially discontinued as a phenol plant. The use was discontinued in 1989, and then shortly thereafter became officially vacant. So this property has basically sat vacant, unused for about three decades, and has slowly fallen into disrepair and dilapidation. But in addition to that, because of the phenol plant operations, there is a lot of contamination that occurred during those, between 1967 and 1987 when it operated. So over those past three decades, there has been a massive effort to clean up the site. Everything from soil contamination to groundwater contamination and actually removing residual waste has occurred. But remediation efforts have been successful from what I've been told and are nearing completion such that there may be a possibility to redevelop this site. So I'm going to actually jump up a couple pages. Let me move this because I want to discuss the environmental analysis. As most of you know, I usually conduct an environmental analysis of the property to see what sort of concerns we might have to be looking at. So when I did that analysis, I found records of wetlands, a stream, and then, as I mentioned, the numerous contamination going on over the past 30 years. So I did produce a map for you all. This would be on page 6 of my report. You can see there are two sections of wetlands. There's a northern section over here in this corner and then a southern section. In the southern section, you can see a blue line that indicates a stream. So I think that's where a majority of those wetlands are coming from. But there's also the northern portion of the wetlands. But I think the key takeaway here is that although the wetlands will limit development of the entire site, there's still significant amount of developable land that can respect those wetlands and give them sufficient buffer as well. But I do want to touch a little bit more on the contamination. There's lots of records on PADEP's website, and I don't want to go through all of them because we'll be here all night, to be honest. But there were probably over 10 areas of concern that they've been remediating and cleaning up for those past 20 to 30 years. And I think the key takeaway is that efforts for soil and groundwater contamination are nearly complete. And all those areas of concern I mentioned are either remediated, are either fully remediated or in process of being completely remediated. So this allows for the site to be redeveloped. Moving on, surrounding land uses are commercial, industrial, and residential. So as you can see from the aerial, there are residential homes to the east. To the west are industrial properties, including some warehouses and some other possibly construction-related uses. So as we move on through my report, this is just going over the LA5 zoning classification to record that. I did take a look at your master plan, as always, the redevelopment of this site would be consistent with your master plan. It's definitely an older site. It's been contaminated, and it really has great potential for redevelopment now that the remediation is almost complete. So now that we've covered those topics, I do want to move on to the actual photos that I took on my site visit back in July of this year. So I'll zoom in a little bit so we can get a closer look. But yeah, starting on page 10 of my report, you can start seeing these photos. So this building right here is the only building left on the site. It's called the former control building. So it probably controlled the operations of the phenol plant when it was in operation. But you can definitely see the dilapidation and you know, the wear and tear that it's taken over the last 30 years. There's vegetation growing on the side. So that is the only building on site. So I got a little closer to show you the condition. So you can definitely see the wear and tear. It's got the old fire escape on it. It's about two levels. You can also see some of the graffiti. And then I did take some pictures of it inside. So there's nothing really going on inside except more graffiti and just old building materials, you know, lights, things of that nature, but it's basically completely vacant. Moving on, I went to other areas of the site because it's quite a large site. So you can actually see the abandoned railroad tracks here going south. So to your left of this photograph, if you're standing here, you would see Hancock Road. And actually the next photo, you can sort of make out some of the houses in the distance, but you can see that there is a lot of tree cover between this site and those nearby uses. But really, these photographs really just show the vacant nature of the site and how it's become overgrown and really underutilized over those 30 years. So this is another photograph looking south, showing just vegetation and overgrowth. And this was a former parking lot for the site, and you can see even more trees in the backgrounds. So that's kind of the story for this one. There's a lot of trees in one standalone building. But so I think you get the idea of the current conditions on the site. So now I'm gonna go into how those conditions relate to the criteria of being designated in, or need to be designated in need of redevelopment. So I'm gonna start with the A criteria. As a refresher, it's outlined on page 17. So it's really talking about how, whether buildings are substandard or not safe, obsolete, dilapidated, or just having conditions overall that are unwholesome for either living in or working in. So I think it's pretty clear, as you all can see from the photographs, that that control building is definitely unsafe, dilapidated, doesn't have any use, and I would say wholly unusable, whether it be for living or working. And in addition to that, I did actually go through the police records for this property, and I found a couple of reports of teenagers using the control building as a hangout. In those police records, the responding officer noted that there was some beer bottles and obviously the graffiti that you saw. And he actually noted another instance where he actually found some teenagers sunbathing on the roof. which I found interesting. But either way, I think the takeaway here is that, you know, locals or teenagers, whoever it is that's accessing this building is unsafe. It is an older building. There could be asbestos, but even worse, you know, no one's maintained it. Something could fall and someone could get injured. So I think it's definitely become a public safety issue and could be a hazard for anyone that enters it. So for those reasons altogether, it's unsafe, unconducive to wholesome working and living conditions. So the A criteria definitely applies here. Moving on to B criteria. So as a refresher, this is about whether the use has been discontinued or there's abandonment of buildings. And both of those items are checked in this instance. As I mentioned, this past use was ceased in 1989. So that's a good solid 30 years, right? 30? Yeah, I think so. Since it's been last used, so that shows the discontinuance of the use. And then also the control building is clearly abandoned and hasn't been used for a long time. So the B criteria also applies here. Last two criteria, so the D criteria focuses really on whether the site as a whole is obsolete or faultily arranged or in a faulty arrangement such that it's detrimental to the public good. So as I mentioned before, the former control building is definitely obsolete, out of date, and it serves no useful purpose or function to anyone either in the township or on the site. The combination of that building being obsolete, also with the vacant, unused, underutilized land all around it, can be definitely used for a better purpose so that it can actually be a benefit to the township. So right now there's no economic productivity and there's current conditions that are of a public safety concern. So I would say that the obsolescence of the site is detrimental to the public good as it stands today. So I believe the D criteria can be applied. And then finally, we have the H criteria, which us planners call the smart growth criteria. This definitely applies because you can utilize the surrounding infrastructure to redevelop the site. So sanitary sewer and water is nearby because of other uses on the site, but also there's River Road, which has good access to 287. And then also this is what we call a brownfield, right? This has really great potential to take an older use that had contamination and no benefit to the community and turn it around into something that has benefit and overall benefit to the township. So with that, I'll conclude that I find in my report from the conditions on site and my personal analysis of police records and all the other records related to this property that criteria A, B, D, and H apply to block 3702 lot 1.02. And that I recommend that it be designated as in need of redevelopment, non-condemnation, of course. Such that a redevelopment plan could be put into place to turn around the detrimental conditions on the site. So with that, I can take any questions or so any photos or any other questions you may have.
Okay, does the board have any questions from this
witness? Yes, Madam Chair, it's Councilwoman Cahill. Mr. Clarkin, on page 6, as you mentioned, the comments are about the wetlands, the extensive soil and groundwater contamination. I mean, I could be missing it. The report itself doesn't say that it's close to being remediated. Do we what indication do you have that in fact is accurate? And do you have any indication as to when the remediation plan will be done and when DEP will do its studies to confirm that the contamination has been cleared?
Right, so I could definitely answer all of those. So the facts that I relied on are both on the PADEP website. You can pull records of the licensed site remediation professionals of where the remediation status is. And you can find that some of them, a lot of them were closed out and complete. So that's how I know that. I did not include a lot of details on it just to not overburden my report. So for example, one of the reports I came across was 2000 pages long. no joke. So it was just very lengthy. And I just tried to distill it into what is important for the board. So I think that you could definitely reach out to the owner to get that documentation or PADEP. I'm sure they'd be happy to show it, but further they would have to before they go for site plan or, you know, before they even try and put a shovel on the ground. So from what I read,
of course, I'm just looking to get an estimate. If you say they're close to, what in that is your estimation mean?
You know, I'll have to get back to you on an actual date. But from what I read, I'm trying to recall, most, so when they do remediation, they focus on areas of concern. And a lot of those areas of concern were closed out, but there were a few remaining. So I'm not positive, but I would imagine that it's close. So sometimes with groundwater, they have to have wells that are there for a long period of time. And that might be the last part, is making sure those wells are recording what they need to and are checked periodically. So I'll have to get back to you with a firm date, Councilwoman.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions of this witness?
Mr. Clarkin, it's Reverend Kenny. In regards to all that soil, has all that soil around the building and where that control building is, I know the area site plan there, I know it quite well, because we used to do work in and out of there for EI DuPont when that phenol plant had the leak of the pipe. Has that all been cleared? All that soil has been cleared?
Yeah, from what I read, all the contaminated soil was removed from the areas of concern.
Okay, thank you. That answers my question. Well, then one other question. When they take this building down, they would have to check the soil contamination under that building also, because that's the control building.
I would imagine so. I don't want to speak because I'm not an LSRP, but possibly.
No, I understand.
I think we had
to do that in Perth Amboy with the EI DuPont plant.
Okay, gotcha.
Before the school was, the college and the school was put up. Okay, thank you. That pretty much answers my question.
Thank you.
Any other questions by any of the other members of the board?
Thought I saw another hand up, but maybe not.
That was me, Councilwoman Cahill actually asked my question, so thank you.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay. If there are no other questions by the board, we can open it up to the public. Ms. Buckley.
Anyone in the public have any questions or comments? You have to raise your hand. No one, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Okay, are we ready to make a motion on this, or do we have any other questions?
Madam Chair, Doyne Quirk, and I'd like to make a motion that the property known as 10 Normandy Drive be designated as a non-condemnation area in need of redevelopment.
Do I have a second?
Reverend Kenny, I'll second that motion, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
Mr. Adkins?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Madam Chair,
thank you very much.
In anticipation of potential board action, I had prepared a resolution memorializing what motion that was just passed, because it has to get back to the council expeditiously. So it would also be appropriate at this time, if it's the board's pleasure, for a motion to approve the resolution with regards to same.
Do I have such a motion to approve the resolution and to memorialize it?
Reverend Kenny, Madam Chair, to approve the resolution for memorializing so it can get referred back to the board.
Second, do I have a second?
Alex Atkins, second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
Mr. Adkins?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we have another one. discussion, revised general ordinances of the Township of Piscataway supplementing chapter 21 zoning to amend section 21-1102 general parking schedule and chapter 24 site plan review to remove section 24.702.3 other design criteria.
Madam Chair, if I may, this is Dawn Corcoran. All that's happening here is that the section that pertains to enclosed parking spaces is being taken out of the site plan ordinance and being added to the zoning ordinance, which is really where it should be. That is the only change that is being made with this ordinance amendment.
Added to the zoning ordinance?
Correct.
Okay. Is there any discussion by the board?
Madam Chair, if it's all the same language, Dawn, I don't particularly have any concern over that. It does kind of belong in the zoning, so.
Okay.
Okay, we should open it to the public though. Ms. Buckley, would you see if there's anyone who wishes to ask any questions in the public?
Anyone in the public have any questions or comments at this time? No one, Madam Chair.
Seeing no response from the public, is the board ready to make a motion to approve this request?
Madam Chair, Dawn Corcoran, I'd like to make a recommendation for the adoption of the proposed supplement to section 21 and 24 of the township ordinance.
Okay, a motion to adopt. Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second that, Councilwoman Cahill.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
And again, Madam Chair, there's a resolution to memorialize that action so it can be sent back over to the council for their action.
Can I have a motion to approve the resolution?
Reverend Kenny, I'll make motion to approve the resolution.
Second, please.
Mr. Atkins, second.
Thank you. Roll call, please. Thank you.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Item number 12, Splendor Homes, New Jersey, LLC. Minor subdivision and bulk variance. Mr. Morse?
Yes, good evening, Madam Chairman, members of the board. Kevin Morse on behalf of Splendor Homes, New Jersey, LLC. The subject property is block 203, lot 22, known as 762 South 2nd Street, and lot 23, known as 1758 South 2nd Street in Piscataway. Both properties are located in the R7.5 zone. Both properties are undersized lots, and we are seeking minor subdivision approval to adjust the common lot line between the two lots to make them of identical size. The genesis of the application is this applicant initially slated as a contract purchaser to acquire lot 22, which is a 40-foot lot with lot in reviewing surrounding area in preparation for the application. We did find that the municipality Piscataway owned lot 23 adjacent to us, also an undersized lot on the corner. And so after communicating with the municipality, my applicant came up with this project, which really is for the benefit of both of these lots for the construction of two new single family homes, which we anticipate will be for sale. So before we proceed, I wanted to confirm that our affidavits of publication and mailing have been received. I previously submitted those, that they're in order so that we have jurisdiction to proceed this evening.
Yes, Mr. Morse, they've been received and they are appropriate, and it's fine to go ahead this evening.
Thank you. So I have three witnesses available. I have Mr. Hussein Burhan Puwala on behalf of the applicant. I don't intend on calling him unless necessary, but I wanted to identify that a representative, direct representative of the applicant is here to participate. I do have Craig Stiers, our professional engineer, and I have Angela Valletudo, our professional planner. Angela Valletudo is actually sitting in my office next to me. So I would first call to testify Craig Stiers, if he could be sworn, please.
Certainly. Mr. Stiers, if you could state your name, spell your last name, and give us your professional address.
Craig Stiers, S-T-I-R-E-S, President Stiers Associates. Address is 43 West High Street in Somerville.
Raise your right hand. Swear the testimony you'll give before this board will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Help you out?
Yes, I do.
You're a witness, Mr. Morse.
All right, thank you. Now, Mr. Stiers, you are a licensed professional engineer of the state of New Jersey since what date?
1993.
Your license is in good standing presently?
Yes, it is.
Right. Madam Chairwoman, the engineer, Mr. Stiers, has testified before this board on prior occasions, always been accepted as an expert in his field, professional engineering. And since he has been accepted in the past, I would ask that you accept him again this evening without having to go through his credentials.
Mr. Stiers is accepted as an expert in this area before this board.
Thank you. Right, Mr. Stiers, you prepared the plans that are before the board this evening. Is that correct?
Yes.
Right, I would ask you to describe the site as it presently exists and the proposed subdivision for the construction of the single family dwellings.
Sure. The existing conditions, the existing site is known as block 203, lots 22 and 23, or 1762 and 1758 South 2nd Street. Properties are located on the southeasterly corner of South 2nd Street and Hazelwood Place in the northerly border of Piscataway Township. Lot 22 contains 5,000 square feet. And that's actually a clarification. That's actually the corner lot and owned by the township. Lot 23 contains 4,000 square feet, and that is the second lot in from the corner. Both lots are currently vacant. However, lot 23, the second lot in, formerly had a 1.5 story house on there, probably demolished within the last 3 to 4 years. The properties are both in the R-7.5 zone, which is single family homes, which these single family homes are both permitted. Each lot is 100 feet deep, with lot 22 being 50 feet wide and lot 23 being 40 feet wide. Properties are surrounded by a church, small church to the south, another residential property to the northeast, a large warehouse building to the northwest across South 2nd Street, and then another vacant lot on the opposite side of Hazelwood on the opposite corner. And what the applicant, as Kevin said, is was originally under contract for lot 23 to construct a new dwelling. And as part of the submission process, the applicant reached out to the township as far as the purchase or sell, and came to an agreement with the township to purchase a lot and now incorporated that lot into the application. Okay. Kevin also said in order to balance the lots, instead of 5,000 and 4,000 square feet respectively, we are shifting the lot line approximately 5 feet towards Hazelwood. So each lot would now be 45 feet wide, and both lots would be 4,500 square feet.
And now, with regard to the bulk variance relief, I will leave that for Mr. Valletudo to get into. But again, both of these proposed lots, as you've identified as adjusted, will be identical in size. And they're proposed as depicted on the plans for the construction of two new single family dwellings, correct?
Yes.
Right, from an engineering perspective, is there any detriment or negative impact on any of the adjacent or neighboring properties with regard to the proposed construction of these new single family dwellings?
No, they're consistent with the houses that are adjacent. As far as any runoff, it actually drains towards Hazelwood, but we are also installing dry wells in the rear of both properties to handle the roof runoff from each of the houses.
All right, so needless to say, there will be no negative impact or no negative drainage impact on any surrounding properties as a result of any proposed construction on these two lots?
Correct.
All right. Now, we had the opportunity at the site plan workshop to review memos, and then we actually, these are second generation plans that were updated based upon comments. So I'm going to identify a few documents. First, we have a memorandum dated revised November 21st, 2022 from the Divisions of Engineering and Planning. We had the opportunity to review that with the applicant, correct?
Yes.
And the applicant has no objection, is prepared to comply with the contents of that memorandum, correct?
Correct.
And I understand we've already received confirmation from the Middlesex County Planning Board that this is an exempt application, correct?
That is correct.
Right. Next, there is a memorandum generated by CME Associates, the Planning Board planner. This is dated November 30th, 2022. This was after the revised plans. You've had the opportunity to go through that document as well with the applicant?
Yes.
Okay, and the applicant is prepared to comply with the any recommendations of items we have not already attended to in that document as well. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, next. It's actually on the agenda for this evening's calendar. Underneath our case item 12, there's an additional item or an entry that the applicant be required to install a or provide a 5-foot temporary easement along Hazelwood Place. I believe that's a temporary construction easement, and also install sidewalk and curb on Hazelwood per the township plans as prepared by Nigerian Associates. We've reviewed that with the applicant, correct?
Yes, those are actually on the plans already and the ones that were submitted.
So the applicant can comply with that, is that right?
Yes.
All right, then lastly, I did receive a communication today from Ms. Corcoran-Gardella. I think it was a clarification that the 5-foot easement was a temporary construction easement, as what you just said is that's no issue. But the second is something new I've not seen. It's for the installation of a blank conduit line underground for each dwelling. And I just need a clarification on that from the board professionals. It's my understanding, unless I'm wrong, that that proposed conduit would be to be installed between the sidewalk and the curbing along the frontage of both properties. I just want to make sure that's accurate. I'm not sure what board professional would answer that.
If I may, Madam President, I can answer it. It's going to actually go, Councillor, from the curbing actually up to where the house is. That's for future future broadband.
Okay.
So we're going to be requiring that all houses be installed, that they have the underground blank conduit, so when the broadband comes through that they can run it underground.
Okay. Yeah. So is it running across the frontage, or is it running from the frontage onto the property? That's what we're not getting.
It's running from the frontage at the curb line to basically the house.
Okay.
It's a blank PVC pipe, as the engineers know, that are going to go a sleeve that's going to go right up to the house. So when broadband comes in, they'll be able to run the fiber optic lines underground instead of overhead.
Okay, I got it. I wasn't sure if this was for the utility company itself. It sounds like this is really a pre-installed conduit for the benefit of the homeowner, correct?
That's correct. And that's okay. It's going to be a requirement for all future applications moving forward.
Okay, we don't have an objection to that, but not seeing this before, we just wanted a clarification. So then I don't think that requires
any. Oh, Counselor, you're a first for everything.
Yeah, exactly. truer words have not been spoken. So yes, that is something this applicant will be prepared to comply with as well. And we appreciate your clarification, Mayor. So that being said, from a technical standpoint, this is not a complicated application. Unless there are any questions of our professional engineer regarding the substance, the technical aspects of the application, I would then proceed to have him stand down and call my professional planner. So are there questions from the board?
Well, you want to hold him for questions that may come up later, or you want this board to answer them now?
However you'd like to do it, Madam Chairwoman, he'll be here for the entire hearing should a question come up at any time.
You pick your preference.
All right.
Well, it's okay, because I have to open it up to the public for each one. So
okay.
I would like to, if the board wants to reserve his questions, let's open it up to the public anyway, right now.
Very well.
Ms. Buckley, would you please see if anyone in the public has any questions of this particular witness at this time?
Anyone, any questions or comments for this witness? Please raise your hand. No one.
Okay, this witness stands by and ready to answer any questions. You may call your next witness, Mr. Morse.
All right, thank you. I would next call Mr. Angelo Valletudo if he could be sworn, please.
There he is, standing over your shoulder. Sir, if you could...
That's a good thing in many ways.
You could state your name, spell your last name, and give us your professional address.
Yes, sir. Angelo J. Valletudo, V-A-L-E-T-U-T-T-O, 424 Amboy Avenue in Woodbridge. And I'm a licensed professional engineer. A licensed professional planner in the state of New Jersey. And the license is in good standing.
All right. How long have you,
Let me just swear him in. Do you swear the testimony you give before this board will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Help you God.
Yes, sir, I do.
All right. Your witness.
Just now that we have you under oath, Mr. Valletudo, licensed professional engineer in New Jersey since when?
1978 and a planner since 1979.
All right, Mr. Valletudo has testified before this board in both capacities as an expert, both professional engineering and planning. Although I'll be calling you as a planner, I'd ask that you accept him as an expert in both of those particular disciplines without going through his curriculum vitae.
He has exceptional experience, I agree. I accept him as a planner in this particular case.
And as an engineer as well, just in case we have a question.
Okay, both.
Thank you.
Madam Chairwoman.
Now, Mr. Valletudo, we've asked you to put on your planning hat for the moment, and you have had the opportunity to analyze the application from a professional planning standpoint, correct?
Yes, sir, I have, as well as all the applications that were submitted to the municipality, all the plans prepared by Mr. Steyer's office and the architect, and also on a visitation of the site.
All right, very well. Just I'd ask you to describe your analysis, surrounding neighborhood, and all that was done in review.
Correct.
With the township's master plan and zoning ordinance.
Right. As always, when I work with you, I go through the standard analyzing the proposed application from a planning perspective for this evening, visited site as I indicated in the surrounding neighborhood, and also reviewed the municipality, the township zoning ordinance and master plan. The surrounding area, and if you look at block 203, it's completely residential, single family. And the only one that is not is the one lot 4.01 directly to the south of our property, which is the church as was described by Mr. Steyer's. They are houses that have been around for a long time and are on lot sizes that are similar or smaller than what we are proposing. And in my analysis, I found that there are a total of 15 residential lots within the 200-foot radius and one lot that is just outside, but still within block 203. And the lot sizes, there's one lot that's 30 by 100, four lots that 32.5 by 100, three lots that are 35 by 100, and one lot that's 40 by 100, all of which are smaller than what we're proposing now with the two lots at 45 by 100. The remaining lots, there's one lot at 60 by 100, two lots at 65 by 100, one lot at 70 by 100, and those are also undersized lots, but slightly larger than what we're proposing. And then there are two lots that meet the zone requirement, one at 75 by 100 and one at 100 by 100. So that 13 of the 15 lots are undersized, which is about 86.67%, and approximately 9 of 15, or approximately 60%, are lots that are smaller than what we're proposing.
Very well. So just detail the bulk variance relief that the applicant is requesting this evening.
Okay. I apologize. I was just taking a breath. Okay. There is also within 200 okay. feet directly across Poplar Place, houses that are contained within the lot sizes of 30 by 100 and 35 by 100 that have two family houses on it. In fact, just walking along South Second Street in an easterly direction, a majority of the lots between Poplar Place and Chestnut are all lot sizes that are smaller than ours and all appear to be two family houses. Now, with regard to the bulk variances, with regard to what's existing lot 22, and we're calling it proposed lot 22, although we have accepted that if this application receives the benefit of the approval, we will not only be filing the subdivision by deed, but we'll also adhere to what the new lot area would be deemed by the tax assessor. The requirement under section 21-501, minimum lot area 7,500. The proposal for lot 22 is 4,500. The requirement for a lot width is 75 feet. We're at 45 foot width. With regard to a front yard setback, we are required by ordinance 25 feet, and we are proposing 13 foot front setback, and that's from the Hazelwood place, which lot 22 is the corner lot. And the next one is with regard to maximum building coverage, 20% is the maximum, and the proposal is slightly over 21% at 21.4%. And section 21-613, with regard to frontage, 75 feet required, and we're at 45 feet. Under section 24-7.02.3d, with regard to enclosed parking space, the minimum is 12 feet by 20 feet. My review of the architectural plans came up with a lot width, a garage usable width is 9 feet 3 3/4 inches and 19 feet 3 3/8 inches. With regard to proposed lot 23, again, pretty much a lot of the same items, because as we've indicated, both lots are going to be proposed at 45 by 100. But just to read it into the record, section 21-501, minimum lot area 7,500. The proposal is 4,500 square feet. With regard to lot width, 75 foot is minimum. We're proposing it at 45 foot lot width. Maximum building coverage, 20%. We're proposing the 21.4%, similar to the lot 22. And then under section 21-613, required 75 foot lot frontage, and the proposal is 45 foot lot frontage. And then again, under 24-7.02.3d, the enclosed parking space must measure at least 12 by 20 foot with no obstructions. My review of the architectural plans, the usable garage width is proposed at 9 feet 3 3/4 inches by 19 feet 3 3/8 inches. If I may proceed.
You may.
Thank you. In my opinion, we offer the testimony that the bulk variances requested by the applicant are cognizable under the municipal land use law C2 or the flexible C analysis, as this application meets the criteria. Number one, relates to a specific piece of property. Subject property comprises of two side-by-side pre-existing undersized lots that are, however, basically consistent with lot sizes in the surrounding neighborhood of single-family dwellings, and that the requested minor lot line adjustment between the two lots further enhances that by virtue of creating two lots that are equal in size, both width and depth. Number two, that the purpose of the municipal land use law would be advanced by a deviation from the zoning ordinance requirement, and that is under section 40:55D-2. And in my opinion, I offer to the board that four of the following purposes would be advanced. Letter A, to encourage a municipal action to guide the appropriate use or development of all lands in this state in a manner that will promote the public health, safety, morals, and general welfare. Letter C, to promote adequate light, air, and open space. letter G, to provide sufficient space in appropriate locations for a variety of agricultural, residential, recreational, commercial, and industrial uses, and open space, both public and private, according to their respective environmental requirements, in order to meet the needs of all New Jersey citizens. And letter M, which I rarely testify without using, to encourage the coordination of the various public and private procedures and activities shaping land development with a view of lessening the cost of such development and to the more efficient use of land. These purposes, in my opinion, are advanced because the proposed new dwellings will be on lots that, as I've testified to, are similar to and larger than many of the single family dwellings in the area and fits within the character of existing neighborhood, with the new style proposed dwellings similar in size and offering living space with modern layouts and amenities. The application provides also new construction in an existing neighborhood, which generally has the effect of enhancing the value of all surrounding properties. In my opinion, the bulk variance relief requested is de minimis based upon the surrounding neighborhood properties. And that number three, that in my opinion, the variance can be granted without substantial detriment to the public good. And I see no detriment based on what we are presenting that was enhanced by virtue of Mr. Stiers, working with the board's professionals to make revisions to provide to the board a cleaner plan than what was originally proposed. Number four, that the benefits of the deviation would substantially outweigh any detriments. And again, I see no detriment, only positive benefits for the neighborhood and the municipality. And number five, that the variance will not substantially impair the intent and purpose of the township zone plan and zoning ordinance. And in my opinion, it does. It is a permitted use, which is evident by us appearing before the planning board and all the information that we've testified to in terms of what we're proposing and how it relates to the existing neighborhood, both within and beyond 200 feet of the subject property.
All right, thank you, Mr. Valletudo. If there are any questions of the board at this time.
Members of the board, I think it's appropriate now if you have any questions of this witness or the previous witness that you would come forth with them at this time.
Madam Chair, Councilwoman Cahill, I just want to confirm. So it's just hard for me to see the get the property view on the lot there. So, and maybe Mr. Morse, you might be able to answer this. I'm not sure. But are there adjacent homes on either side of this lot? And if so, the testimony is that those lots for those homes there are also 45 feet in width?
I'll let Mr. Valletudo answer. Some are actually even smaller, even though it's an R7.5 zone. It's a zone where predominantly the lots are much smaller.
Well, the subject property, Madam Councilwoman, is a corner lot, so that the only adjoining property we have that we would be able to acquire additional property is block 203, lot 1, which has an existing house on it. And that property, I believe, is only 35 feet by 100. So it's substantially less than ours, and there will be no manner that we can acquire any property.
And we're not taking that anyway.
And then with regard to the south, as both Mr. Stiers and I indicated, is the church property, which the lot width is similar to ours at about 50 feet.
Thank you for that clarification.
Any questions from the other members of the board? Hearing no responses, I'd like to open it up to the public. Please, Ms. Buckley.
Anyone in the public have any questions or comments on this application? No one, Chairman.
Okay, thank you. So, Mr. Morse, do you have any additional witnesses tonight?
I do not.
Okay, would you like to give us a summary?
No, I won't belabor the testimony. It ends up being really a very nice project. Initially, My client had found a lot that was undersized, seeking to build the house. Municipality happened to own another undersized lot next door. Put them together to balance them with a lot line adjustment, and now instead of one, you have the ability to put two nice new single family dwellings in a neighborhood that, as you've heard in the testimony, is an older neighborhood, and there's a substantial always enhancement generally to property values when new construction, new housing stock is infused into an older neighborhood. So it's really a twofer here, and we appreciate the board's consideration and request you approve the application.
All right, members of the board, you've heard this application. What is your pleasure? Do I have a motion?
Yeah, Madam Chair, Councilwoman Kale, I'll make a motion that we accept the application and that we grant the variances for both applications. Oh, I want to make sure I get them right here. Is it 24702.3? Is that the right, or is that, well, hang on, I'm sorry. 22PB20 and 21V with the variances, provided that the applicant who has agreed here through representation, Mr. Morse, to put in the conduit line for future broadband use.
Yes, that was an
exception. And also granting these the temporary easements that have been asked.
Yes, no objection.
So I'll make that offer.
Okay, may I have a second?
A second.
Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Espinoza?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Thank you. Have your good luck to both of you.
Your time, and happy holidays to all.
Thank you. Well,
take care, Kevin.
Thank you very much, Mr. Barlow. Good to see you.
Have a good holiday.
Okay, happy holidays, everyone. Our next meeting is December the 24th, our site 21st, our site plan meeting. And our next Madam regular Chair, meeting will may. Yes, you may.
Madam Chair, before we have a motion to adjourn, I would be remiss if I didn't mention Mr. Espinoza. This will be his last meeting on the planning board after several years of serving our community on the planning board, because he was recently elected to the township council. And thereby, under, as Mr. Barlow knows, under state law, you can't have two council members sitting on the planning board at once. So,
maybe Mr. Espinoza wants my spot.
You didn't get a vote.
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to have Mr. Espinoza take that spot.
It's always good to have multiple people who know what they're talking about.
Okay. But I would, on behalf of the other colleagues on the board, I want to congratulate Dennis and wish him best of luck going on to the council.
Thank you.
I join you, Mayor.
Congratulations,
Dennis.
Congratulations, Dennis.
It's a
pleasure working
you.
With you.
My pleasure is mine.
Good luck.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your support.
Bless you. Happy holidays, everyone, Reverend Kenny.
Everyone have a happy holiday. We'll see you shortly before, but enjoy
the
preparation.
Do we need a motion to close?
Yes, I'm going to get it as soon as I finish talking. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
No move.
Second.
Okay, fine.
Happy holidays,
everyone.
Happy holidays.
Everyone. Safe. See ya. Bye.
Okay. Bye. Bye-bye.